Today on the Pastor Study, our Bible lesson today is entitled The Grave. The Grave. And we begin in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, and we want to look at verses 15 and 16 of the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. The Word of God has this to say: The horse leech hath two daughters crying, Give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not it is enough. This lesson on the grave deals with several aspects of the grave that we find in the Bible. First of all, we see about the grave, it is never satisfied. We see here in our verses that it's mentioned of one of the four things, the grave is never satisfied. You see, my dear listeners, death keeps claiming its victims, and the grave keeps receiving its corpses. Since sin kills, and the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And all have sinned, Romans 3:23. Then there is no discharge in this war, meaning death. Now look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. In verse 8, notice what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath the power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. So you can't prevent death. There's no escape from death. Amen. You see, we're all heading to the grave. We're all heading to the grave unless the rapture happens before we die. And thank God for the rapture. Notice with me what the words of God say here in 1 Thessalonians. In chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians, and we want to look at verses 16 and 17. The Word of God says this: For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then notice over in the Gospel of John with me, in chapter number 11 of John, and that's a chapter where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes and raises Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. So in chapter 11 of John, look it with me in verses 25 and 26. We read this: Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So we see the grave is never satisfied. We're all going to the grave, except where the rapture happens before any of us die. We'll be taken up alive, amen, to meet the Lord in the sky. Praise the Lord for that. Now, another thing about the grave, not only is it never satisfied, but the grave is indiscriminate. What do I mean by that? The grave, it takes the good and the bad. the young and the old, men and women, boys and girls, infants, and those who have not seen the light of day. It doesn't care how you get there or where they lay you, in a military cemetery, in the sea, or in an urn. So the grave is indiscriminate. And I'm sure all of us have seen that in our lives with family and friend, have we not? We've seen young and old, people that we know, relatives, taken by the grave, taken by death. Amen. It's never satisfied. It's indiscriminate. I think some of us live our lives, it seems like we're never going to die. But you know what? That's one thing that never changes, death. Amen. We'll all end up there someday, unless, of course, you're born again and you're alive when the Lord returns at the rapture. What a beautiful day that will be, amen. What a glorious day to not see death, amen. Because the one who has victory over death in the grave, the Lord Jesus Christ, was resurrected, and we will be too. But even if you're not alive when he comes and you're in the grave, amen, you will come. You will come up because he came up, amen. The third thing we want to see about the grave is it is deceiving. It is deceiving. What do I mean by that? Well, graveyards are beautiful, adorned. They're manicured, organized, and landscaped to disguise the horrors of death, the stench of decay, and the decomposition of that which was once handsome and vigorous. Amen. I'm sure all of you have been to the graveside of a loved one who's buried. And it's very peaceful and calm. They may even be buried under a tree. Amen. But that's deceiving. Amen. That is deceiving. It disguises the horrors of death. It disguises the fact that when that flesh is put in that grave, that it decomposes. Amen. The worms get at it. No matter how hermetically sealed that casket is and has a liner, the fact is that that body will decompose. The worms will have a field day on that flesh. So we've seen so far about the grave, it's never satisfied. It's indiscriminate, it's deceiving, and it's quiet. Is it not? It is quiet. You can no longer praise the Lord from the grave. You can no longer praise the Lord from the grave. Notice in the book of Isaiah with me, in chapter 38 and verse 18, what the Word of God says. Isaiah 38, verse 18, the Word of God says this: "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." Yes, that tongue is silenced, is it not? The grave is a great silencer, is it not? Those who were once proud and boastful have been quieted. Those who have mocked and made fun of others in their life have been quieted. Those who have had were talebearers and gossipers. Yes, their tongue will be quieted. And also, amen, the saints of God who have gone on before us, or in the grave today, waiting for the trump of God and the shout. That body cannot praise God. But you know, someday, amen, we have many beautiful spiritual songs about that great meeting in the sky. Amen. When we'll meet together and be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can praise him for all of time and eternity. The thing that reminds us that the grave is quiet, we need to remember, if you have something to say, you better say it now and write it down. Amen. If you have someone to whom you need to witness, you better do it now. Because if you leave this world, it'll be too late. See, the race that you have given to run will be over. Also, we need to remember each day is a gift from Almighty God, is it not? And we need to remember that fact, like some of us just take it for granted each and every day. But we need to tell those around us that we love, amen, that we love them verbally, amen. So when we leave this earth, they can have that memory, that you, the words of love that fell from your lips, amen, the things you did to show others that you love them. My dear listener, don't take today or any day for granted. It's a gift from Almighty God that you're alive today and breathing. Because each and every one of us, because of our sin, deserves to be burning in a lake of fire for time and eternity. But because of all God, Almighty God's mercy in giving his only begotten Son as a supreme sacrifice, the only sacrifice that he would accept to pay for our sins, that we're not in that literal lake of fire today. My dear friend listening today, I don't know if you're saved or born again, but if you're not, amen, when you die and you leave this earth without having trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, asking him to forgive you for all your sins, and trusting in only the Lord Jesus shed blood and nothing else to save you, my dear friend, that you will spend time and eternity in that lake of fire. Again, we're looking at some things about the grave in our Bible lesson today. We've seen so far that the grave is never satisfied. It's indiscriminate. It's deceiving. It's quiet. Another thing about the grave is it is marked. Your headstone is marked with your name, your date of birth, and your date of death, separated by a dash. Amen. That dash represents your life. And the thing, if you've been on this earth and you've seen others go before you, is that this life, my dear friend, is over pretty fast. And that's one thing about the Bible. It tells you that life is brief. It's not long. Amen. It's the brevity of life is described over and over again in the scriptures. I want us to look at that. I want that fact to sink down in us so we can remember each day that we get up just how short this life is. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 with me. And when we get to James chapter 4, I want us to look at verse number 14. Notice what it says here. James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Don't take tomorrow for granted. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. For what is your life, the scripture says? And it answers that question, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What a wonderful illustration. It's like when you go out on a cold day and you breathe a breath and you can see the vapor coming from your nose and from your mouth. And what happens? It vanishes. The Bible says that's what the brevity of our life is like. The length of our days on this earth is like that vapor. Amen. Notice also with me, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and when we get to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, look at verse number 15, what it says here. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. See, we go on, we go to the grave just like those before us have gone to the grave. It's like a shadow. It's very brief, our time on this earth, is it not? Amen. Now, Job has a lot to say about the brevity of life. Let's look at Job chapter 7. And when we get to Job chapter 7, notice what it says there in verse number 6. Job describes his days like this. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. His day is swifter than a weaver's shuttle, the thing that weaves the cloth. It goes very fast. So Job says our life, his life, our lives go by very quickly. They're here and gone just like that. In chapter 8 and verse 9 of Job, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing because our days upon earth are a shadow. We see our shadow, do we not? And then we don't see our shadow. It's here and then it's gone. Job chapter 9, verse 25. Notice what it says here. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. Swifter than a post. Amen. Swifter than that person that carries, amen, that information, that post. That's what he's saying. Remember years ago in this country, the mail was delivered by Pony Express, amen. Basically, someone riding on horseback would take it to one place and someone else would pick it up and continue on, amen. Our life is a lot faster than that, quicker than those ponies, those horses that brought the mail. And then in Job chapter 14, in verses 1 and 2, the Word of God tells us certainly that man that is born of woman, that's every one of us, me and every one of you listening today, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Isn't that the truth? If you've been on this earth for any period of time, we know that it's full of trouble. We've all had troubles. But thank God that you and I have the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved and we're born again to help us get through our troubles. Amen. And then in verse 2, we read, he cometh forth like a flower is cut down, he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. We all have gardens. Flowers come up and boom, before you know, they're gone. They're dead. All of this expresses the brevity of our lives. Don't take it for granted. It's short. Amen. You're not promised tomorrow. You're here today and may be gone tomorrow. And if you have something to do, then you need to get to it. The scripture reminds us of that in Ecclesiastes. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in verse number 10. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Do it now. Don't put it off. Now, your grave may include an epitaph, like something, like some famous one quoted during a sermon. I ask you today, what would your epitaph say? What are they going to say about you? Amen. After we leave this earth, we go in the grave and we're gone. We leave loved ones here, do we not? People that knew us. What has your life said? As Paul said to the Corinthians, you are my epistle, read of men. What will people say of you? Amen. As we move on in our lesson today, we see another thing about the grave. It's sealed. It is sealed. Amen. You can still visit the sepulchres of some of the patriarchs. Amen. I don't follow other religions for one main reason. Their founders are all still in the grave. Amen. Jesus, on the other hand, is risen. There's an empty grave to prove it. Amen for that? You'll be in your grave till all are open unless you trust Christ, who will open yours early. We're reminded of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. Listen to what the Word of God says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. So, if you've trusted Christ and you go to the grave, he's going to open up yours early when he comes at the rapture. You know, amen. Amen to that. The founder of our faith, he's a living, risen Savior. Because he went up, we will go up. Amen. In our Bible lesson today, we've looked at some things about the grave. It's never satisfied. It's indiscriminate. It's deceiving. It's quiet. It's marked. Amen. It's sealed. Amen. And then finally, it's corporal. That is, it is only for the body. That's what I mean. it's corporal. The spirit goes back to God who gave it, and the soul either slips right into hell or ascends immediately to be with the Lord. Amen. And we have the Bible on that, the word of the Holy Bible to tell us that. Looking in Luke chapter 16 with me, we want to go to Luke chapter 16, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the rich man and Lazarus. And this is not a parable. Amen. This is for real. So we read this, Luke 16, beginning in verse 19. Was a certain man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Life goes on, and now what happens? It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The beggar and the rich man both died. But notice what happens. The rich man, here it is, verse 23. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of the finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Two men died. One went to hell, one went to Abraham's bosom. Amen. And that's where Old Testament saints died before Christ came and died for our sins and was resurrected. Because when Christ was resurrected, Lazarus went up with him to the third heaven. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is tormented, and now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So here, Lazarus had it bad on this in this earth, but now he's comforted. The rich man had all the comforts of the world, did he not? And now he's tormented. 180 degrees, physical to spiritual. Amen. So that's what happened. But the thing we want to see is the rich man, this is his soul here. The spirit's gone back to God of both men. But this rich man has all his faculties, all his senses. He has his memory. Now, but if you're saved when you die, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 8, we're told what your destiny is there. We read this. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, we read this. We are confident, I say, that willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's why at the funeral of saved people, the preacher says, he's in a better place. Amen. He's in a better place now. If you want to be in a better place when you die, my dear listeners, you need to trust Jesus Christ, who has already given us the victory over the grave.